This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, this is RÚV English Radio. My name is Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company today. From time to time here on RÚV English Radio, we seek to bring not just Iceland, but RÚV to the world. And my colleague Björn Malmqvist works on a programme called Heimskviður, which is a weekly programme of foreign news broadcast here on RÚV on Rás Ett. And he recently spoke to a writer and beachcomber called Tracy Williams in the UK. In 1997, a huge storm near the coast of Cornwall pushed 62 containers off the cargo ship Tokyo Express. One of them was filled with nearly 5 million pieces of Lego. To this day, those pieces are still being found. And Tracy Williams, Björn's guest, was among many people to start finding thousands of Lego pieces along the southwest coast of the UK in 1997.
The great Lego spill of 1997. My name's Tracy Williams and I'm a writer and beachcomber and I live in Cornwall on the southwest tip of the UK. And the story began for me back in 1997, which was the year of the spill. As a family, we'd always gone beachcombing. When I was a child, my family, my parents used to take me beachcombing. And when I had my own children, I used to take my children beachcombing too. And back in the day, we used to search for natural objects. You know, we'd search for shells and maybe the odd fishing buoy, but It was mainly natural objects we looked for, bits of driftwood and so on. But back in 1997, we started noticing all the Lego washing up, and it was mainly sea-themed Lego. So there were little tiny flippers, there were little life jackets, spear guns, and if you were really lucky, you might find a dragon or an octopus. And we used to pick it all up and fill, my children used to fill their buckets with it, and we'd take it up the coastal path to my parents' house, which was where they had an old shed that was tethered to the top of the cliffs by guy ropes to stop it blowing away in a storm. And that's how the story began. And in about 2010, I moved to Cornwall. And the very first time I went to the beach, I found a bit of Lego from the spill washed up. And I thought that was quite astonishing that this Lego was still washing ashore 13 years on. So I set up a Facebook page because I thought it would be quite interesting to see who else had found it and which pieces they'd found and how far it had travelled in the intervening years. By then I was part of a beach clean network as well, so I knew other people were finding it too. And the BBC story, BBC saw this Facebook page at the time, and they decided to do a story about it. And the story, the Facebook page went from about 400 followers to almost 50,000, you know, in the matter of days. And I realized there was huge fascination in this story around the world. And that's how it all began.
I've been looking at the Facebook page in recent days, and you have probably now around 100,000 followers. And there are people posting pictures practically every day about their findings. And so it seems to have struck a nerve in a lot of people who are concerned about plastic pollution, which is ultimately what is sort of driving this story forward, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I think for me, originally, the story began as a bit of fun. You know, it was my children and I used to search for these little bits of Lego. But it was while we were searching for the Lego that we started to notice all the rest of the plastic on the beach and in the sand and washing in from the sea. And I think for many people, it's been the same. People often describe the Lego hunt as part whimsical and part doom laden. And I think there's the initial excitement of finding a bit of Lego from the spill, you know, quickly followed by the horror of all the plastic and how long it lasts. I mean, that's part of the reason we do this, to show how long plastic does linger in the marine environment. And I think a benefit as well is that there's a lot of nostalgia for Lego. And so people recognize it and the pieces are very distinctive. They're mainly sea themed. So The holy grail of finds is the Lego octopus, really.
There's something about the fact that these Lego pieces that got lost at sea were actually sea-themed.
Yes, coincidental is probably the right word. I think many people describe it as ironic, but yes, it's a coincidence, I think, that most of the pieces were sea-themed. But every few weeks I go down to the fishing ports, and although beachcombers tend to find the bits of Lego that floated, the fishermen find all the bits of Lego that sank to the seabed back in 1997. So every now and again I'll pop down to the fishing ports and see what the fisherman's catch of the day is, and they'll hand me a bucket or container of Lego that they've trawled up.
What can you tell me about the spill itself? I mean, this was a freight ship that got caught in a really bad storm just outside of Land's End.
Yes, it's the cargo ship was on its way from Rotterdam in the Netherlands to New York when it was hit by a huge or rogue wave about 20 miles off Land's End. And 62 shipping containers fell into the ocean. And just one of those, as far as we know, contained the Lego. We don't know what was in most of the other containers. We know what was in a few of them. And that's something else we'd like to find out. We're hoping to do some side scanning to see if we can find out if those shipping containers still exist or whether they've long since rusted away.
You wrote a book about this spill and the ensuing sort of search for Legos and other plastic and plastic pollution as well. A wonderful book, I might add. And in it you describe a visit to Billund in Denmark to Lego, talking with the persons who are actually producing the Legos. What was your impression from that visit, and you know, in terms of this spill?
It wasn't a physical visit. I had a Zoom call, so I didn't actually get to travel to Denmark. But I think Lego themselves, obviously, they didn't want the spill to happen. It was an accident. No company wants its goods to fall into the sea. They did what they could at the time. But the trouble is, when a container goes overboard, there's actually very little that can be done. Usually there's a flurry of interest as some of the items that float start to wash up. And you'll occasionally see pictures of beaches covered in debris after the latest container spill. But I think what interests me is that after the initial interest, you never really hear about any of those objects ever again. Yet we know from the Lego story that they're all still there. Much of the Lego is trapped in sand. We think the Lego that floated drifted ashore probably 27 years ago and has been lying in the sand ever since. Although some's been found, there's a lot still buried. And whenever we have a storm here and a high spring tide, the waves will eat into the dunes and they will release a lot of the plastic that's been buried for decades. But the Lego lying on the seabed, it's very hard to retrieve, isn't it? So sometimes the fishermen find it. And there must be billions of items, you know, lying on the seabed from cargo spills. When you think there were 5 million pieces of Lego just in that one shipping container, and when you think how many shipping container losses there are every year, it's quite frightening.
Not to mention the general plastic pollution that is you know, floating around the oceans of the world, not only around England, but practically everywhere.
Absolutely, yes, it's shocking, and obviously the plastic from container spills is just a drop in the ocean, really, compared to all the other plastic that's entering the ocean.
I wanted to ask you, I mean, basically the Lego spill, I mean, the Lego pieces floating around on beaches and lying on the seabed are just sort of like a tip of the iceberg when it comes to plastic pollution in the ocean. How useful is a story like this in order to sort of keep this issue high in people's consciousness?
I think it's what we've learnt from the Lego story that's important. We've learnt how far Lego drifts on the surface of the ocean. We've seen what happens to it as it breaks down, and we know how long it's likely to survive. We recently teamed up with scientists at the University of Plymouth to see if we could find out how long Lego is likely to survive in the ocean. And the scientists who carried out the experiments thought it could last anywhere from 100 to 1300 years. So it's going to be around for a long time. And of course, it's not just the Lego. This is just one example of all the different types of plastic that enter the ocean. I think a lot of schools and universities are using my book in their classes to actually raise awareness and teach about plastic pollution, because I think many people are fascinated by the story. And all too often, stories about plastic pollution are quite frightening. You see horrendous images of wildlife strangled in plastic and dying from ingestion of plastic. And I think the Lego story is a good way of talking about it without making people switch off. You know, I see so many horrendous images, and it's really distressing to look at them. And I think talking about the Lego is a good way in.
Have you ever heard about anybody in Iceland finding the Lego pieces?
Not yet, but it would be really interesting to find out. We've been mapping where the Lego has been washing up for decades. And if you look at the map, you can see that most of the Lego that floated seemed to go along the English Channel. So it washed, you know, along the south coasts of Cornwall and Devon, and some washed up in the Channel Islands, and then it went, some was found in France, and it's still being found in Belgium and the Netherlands. We've had a few reports from Denmark. It'd be really interesting to know where that Lego went afterwards. But some of the Lego washed up along the west coast of the UK and Wales, England, Wales, and the Isle of Man, we've had reports from recently. But we've also had reports from the west coast of Ireland. And I think that's what's really interesting as far as Iceland is concerned, is what happened to the Lego that washed past the west coast of Ireland? Where did that go next? So I think, you know, it'd be really interesting to know if any beachcombers or beachgoers in Iceland have found any Lego there. We've got a couple of pages in our book that show all the floating items, and those are the pieces that beachcombers there are likely to find if it does turn up. So these aren't classic style bricks. They're what are termed as elements. So they are the witch's brooms and the Lego seagrass and the flippers and the tiny cutlasses. So we'd really welcome any reports of Lego that's been found.
Yeah, Tracy, I talked to an oceanographer in Iceland who told me that that there's a distinct possibility that the current that sort of leads north from the North Sea along the coast of Norway, then crosses over the Atlantic or over to Iceland. So it's entirely possible that some of this has landed on the northern shores of Iceland. It's entirely possible. But I will be sure to include this in my report and sort of encourage people to to look
that
for
would,
it.
That would be really helpful. We recently logged where print cartridges from a cargo spill washed up through our social media pages. We knew that we'd started finding these printer cartridges washed up. So we put a shout out on the page and said, if anybody has found these cartridges, please could you get in touch?
Yeah.
And quite helpfully, these printer cartridges all had a batch number and also a date on them, so that we were able to identify which ones had come from the spill. And we had thousands of reports, and these cartridges were found all the way from Florida to the northern tip of Norway. So they washed up on hundreds and hundreds of beaches, and the spill was actually about 1,200 miles east of New York. So it just goes to show how far this plastic drifts on the surface of the ocean. So there's a serious side to it. You know, we're using it to map ocean currents as well.
One more question, which is basically Are you still going down to the beach looking for Legos and other plastic stuff?
I go to the beach every day. My house is less than a minute's walk from the beach, so I go out at the crack of dawn and I go out at dusk, and usually several times throughout the day as well. So I don't go hunting for Lego as such. What I do is pick up plastic, and if I find Lego, I'll obviously pick that up too and record where I found it and which piece I've found. It's been quite interesting. We knew there were some 50,000 Lego sharks inside the shipping container, but when I wrote the book, we hadn't ever seen any. But a couple of months ago, a fisherman actually caught one in his nets. That was his catch of the day. So there's still 50-odd thousand sharks at the bottom of the sea, still waiting to be found.
It's been wonderful, Tracy. Thank you so much for the interview.
Thank you very much. And I did visit Iceland myself a few years ago, and I was hoping to find some, but I didn't. There was too much snow.
There is more from RÚV English with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. RÚV English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.